Good afternoon, 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Kentucky Rising will not be a new reform. If done well, it will be a strategic initiative to properly resource and strengthen our system and continuously improve it.
Bridget Ramsey of the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence talks about an initiative to improve education and workforce development in Kentucky.
No decision today in a federal lawsuit over marriage licenses in Rowan County.
And the region is hit hard this afternoon with severe thunderstorms.
In sports, Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby is scheduled for tonight in Cincinnati.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
More severe weather this evening with strong winds and thunderstorms likely, lows around 70. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Thousands of people are without electricity this afternoon following severe thunderstorms in eastern Kentucky. Kentucky Power says more than 1,100 customers in Rowan County are without service. The number in Carter County is nearly three times that. More than 200 customers each in Boyd, Greenup, and Lewis counties have also lost electricity. Kentucky Utilities says over 2,500 homes and businesses in the Maysville area do not have power. The utilities say there have been multiple outages and their crews are working to restore service as quickly as possible.
The National Weather Service in Jackson is warning residents in eastern Kentucky there could be more severe weather this afternoon. The system comes on the back of another that has already been bringing heavy rain to the area in recent days. Pete Girarin is with the NWS in Jackson.
The primary threat with these storms will be damaging wind gusts. Now, with all the rain that we've seen the past couple weeks, there's also a threat of flash flooding. And in addition, a few storms may have large hail, and an isolated tornado can also not be ruled out.
Djerian says the system pretty well encompasses the majority of eastern Kentucky and is expected to affect the area from around 2 to 7 p.m. He urges everyone to keep an eye on their current situation and to have a weather plan in place.
There was no decision today in a federal lawsuit filed against Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis for her refusal to issue marriage licenses. MSPR News Director Chuck Meraz was at the U.S. District Court in Catlettsburg.
Calling it a case that pits the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which protects religious freedom, versus the 14th Amendment, which provides for equal protection under the law, U.S. District Judge David L. Bunning decided to wait today to issue a decision in regards to a preliminary injunction involving the Kentucky ACLU's class action lawsuit against Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis. Davis is being sued by two gay couples and two straight couples for opposing the Supreme Court's decision legalizing same-sex marriage. The ACLU says Davis should be forced to honor her oath of office and issue marriage licenses, while her attorneys say she's protected by the First Amendment from having to do so. Bunning denied the ACLU's request for a temporary restraining order against Davis, since she's not yet been served her summons to appear in the case. 24 hours after she is, though, Bunning says the case will resume in Covington, but no later than by Monday. Davis was not in the courtroom today. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio from the U.S. District Courthouse in Ashland, I'm Chuck Meraz.
The Super 8 Motel in Louisa was evacuated Sunday when a meth lab was discovered in one of the rooms. WSAZ is reporting that the motel's 65 guests were told to leave their rooms when the lab was found in a bathroom. Police and fire officials were called to the scene along U.S. 23 after receiving calls of smoke coming from the room. They say the person renting it had left by the time first responders arrived. A mobile meth unit from the Kentucky State Police was summoned to dismantle the lab. Police say they have a suspect and charges will be brought.
In an effort to encourage vaccination and cancer prevention, Kentucky Lieutenant Governor Crit Llewellyn has launched a campaign to boost public awareness of the human papilloma virus. Llewellyn unveiled the state's multimedia campaign at a press conference this afternoon.
The fight against cancer is a very personal issue for me because I'm a cancer survivor. And HPV, the human papilloma virus, is common. And some diseases caused by HPV can be deadly, including cervical cancer and certain types of oral cancers.
Llewellyn says HPV is not only transmitted sexually, and the best window for vaccination is around the age of 12. She hopes the campaign will bring information about the virus to parents and urge them to make informed decisions about vaccinating their kids.
Data analysis for an initiative to improve education in Kentucky, develop a more highly skilled workforce, and make the Commonwealth more competitive in the global economy is nearing completion. That's what the president of Kentucky's Council on Post-Secondary Education told state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon. Bob King was talking about Kentucky Rising. He testified before the Interim Joint Committee on Education. He says the CPE, Kentucky Department of Education, and other groups are developing comparisons with high-performing states and countries based on factors like early childhood education, teacher preparation, and career and technical training.
We are looking at the four highest-performing countries in the world in terms of student achievement, and the three states in the United States that are the highest-performing states in America, and comparing them to Kentucky. How are we doing?
King says about two-thirds of the analysis is finished. Once the study is complete, he says, the Commonwealth will reshape its educational programs with the goal of making Kentucky a world leader in academic achievement and economic development.
Morehead State University has begun site preparation on some new residence hall projects. The school is spending $2.7 million to build a pair of facilities for 48 students at its Derrickson Agricultural Complex. It's using another $28 million for a 550-bed dorm on its main campus. Chief Financial Officer and Vice President Beth Patrick says the modern new facilities will meet the needs of 21st century college students.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of those on the top of their list is technology. And all of these will have the very best technology access, bandwidth, wireless, and so forth. The other thing that we've done is we've gone in to the older halls where there were group showers on each floor, and we've put in basically shared private facilities where a student can go in and have a private facility, lock the door, and use it, but they're shared by different people on the floor.
Patrick says all three facilities should be ready for occupancy in the fall of 2016.
As of today, the Menifee County school system is being controlled by the Kentucky Department of Education. The State Board of Education on Friday voted to give Commissioner Terry Holliday management duties of the district after local officials admitted that 6 months of state assistance to fix problems there hasn't worked. KDE spokesman Rebecca Blessing says the state will have control of Menifee County schools for an undetermined amount of time.
Well, it will be up to the district to improve its governance and execute the plan under state management.
The Menifee District became state-assisted back in December after an audit revealed a significant lack of efficiency and effectiveness in its operation, finances, and instruction. The Menifee School Board voted last month to not oppose a state takeover.
The Kentucky National Guard is working with State Education Commissioner Terry Holliday to try to save the Guard's Youth Challenge Program. Colonel Stephen Bullard is Chief of Staff for the Kentucky Guard. He says the program will have to be restructured after the state legislature voted to raise Kentucky's school dropout age to 18. Bullard says that's because the Guard's initiative has been taking students as young as 16 into its academies in Fort Knox and Harlan for nearly two decades.
So we have been meeting with Commissioner Holliday and the Department of Education to find a way to keep the Youth Challenge program viable. And what we're looking at is crafting legislation based on West Virginia, which went through this very same thing recently, that would change the Youth Challenge programs in Harlan and Fort Knox to special alternative schools.
The Kentucky National Guard's Youth Challenge program has operated as a 22-week curriculum that includes academics, leadership training, physical fitness, and community service projects.
An African-American lawmaker says he doesn't think the statue of Jefferson Davis belongs in Kentucky's Capitol Rotunda. State Senator Gerald Neal is a Democrat from Louisville. He discussed the issue on CN2's Pure Politics. Neal says the Confederate president was considered a traitor who fought to subjugate an entire race of people.
How does that match up, let's say, with an Abraham Lincoln or Ethan McDowell or an Alvin Barkley of that particular statue? It seems like he's not in the right place with respect to that.
Neil says he's not sure where Davis's statue should be displayed, but it seems out of place in the state capitol.
State Senator Reginald Thomas is reintroducing legislation today that would make changes to Kentucky's Stand Your Ground law. The Lexington Democrat says his bill would preserve the right of all Kentuckians to use deadly force on a home intruder, but not if they provoke the confrontation.
What my bill does is say that if you perpetrate or initiate any harm or any confrontation, then if someone then tries to defend themselves, you can't rely on the Stand Your Ground defense by virtue of your own initiation or conduct that caused the confrontation in the first place.
Thomas says it's no coincidence that he introduced the bill on the second anniversary of the Trayvon Martin shooting. He's the unarmed African-American teen who was shot to death by George Zimmerman in Florida. Zimmerman was acquitted under Florida's Stand Your Ground law.
If it has to, Ashland's mayor says the city will use its own money to keep its bus system operating. Chuck Charles says Ashland is facing possible reductions of up to $200,000 in federal mass transit support. He says the buses are too important to a lot of citizens to cut the service.
That's what we'll have to do. You know, one of the things that we don't want to do is lower our services. You know, we want to at least maintain, if not improve, our services. So if we have to subsidize that, we will.
Charles says another priority for Ashland in the new fiscal year is increasing production at the city's water plant.
And finally this afternoon, an Ashland commissioner says Kentucky cities need relief from their increasing financial obligations for public employee pensions. Amanda Clark says retirement costs are hitting Ashland and other cities hard because the state legislature has not adequately funded the system. She says lawmakers have been expecting cities to cover a bigger share of those expenses, and they just can't.
I think it absolutely is a legislative issue. I don't know why the legislature is putting their bad funding of the retirement system on the backs of the cities. It's not fair.
Clark says the legislature should pass a pension reform bill in 2016, but she's afraid they won't because it's an election year.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, there's a flash flood watch in effect through late tomorrow night, along with a severe thunderstorm watch that's in effect until 8 p.m. this evening. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 68 degrees. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a 70% chance of rain and highs around 85. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, patchy valley fog developing late and lows in the upper 60s again. And on Wednesday, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-80s. Again, reminding you there's a flash flood watch in effect through tomorrow night, along with a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 8 p.m. this evening. It's currently 84 degrees in Ashland, Mist sitting at 69 in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez, 73 in Lexington, 76 in Winchester, and 80 degrees here in Moorhead.
444, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Having well-qualified leaders is an essential part of any successful Kentucky school district. And Moorhead State University is doing its part to train those educators. Carly Sanders from MSU's Communications and Marketing Department has that story.
Faculty members in Moorhead State University's Department of Foundational and Graduate Studies and Education have long embraced the theme, A Light to and from the Mountains, striving to improve the educational attainment of residents across eastern Kentucky. MSU's Doctorate in Education program is designed to meet the distinctive needs of practitioner leaders and works to ensure there is a quality leader in every school. Dr. Chris Miller is the Department Chair of Foundational and Graduate Studies in Education at MSU. He says students in the program may choose between three different tracks depending on their interest areas.
The first one is P-12 Administrative Leadership. This is a program designed for those that want to become stronger leaders within their organizations in P-12 education, particularly those that may be interested in the superintendency, which is embedded within that program. Our adult and higher education specialization focuses on preparing those people that are interested in careers moving into leadership roles within adult education as well as higher education, working with student success, working with student activities, student programs.
The third area, educational technology leadership, Miller says, can benefit students from a wide range of backgrounds.
This area is designed for those people that are interested in working within a school district in technology integration leadership areas, but also those people in business, industry, military, medical professions that are interested in engaging in instructional design, training, professional development opportunities, and moving, dealing with educational technologies within different fields.
Dr. Stephen Hooker, an assistant professor of education leadership, says there are unlimited opportunities within the program for students to develop projects that directly impacts what they are doing in their own work environments.
I believe that what this separates this program from others in the nation is this is a practitioner scholar program. They have an opportunity and their capstone projects to develop something that will help them in the field of education and change the field of education. There are unlimited possibilities for these students to develop projects that will help them in their particular situations and their schools, districts, but also can change the face of education for other Eastern Kentucky rural counties.
Janine Cook is a student pursuing her doctorate in the educational technology track.
It's a practitioner's degree, so everything I'm learning in my coursework, I can directly apply to make my job better, to be a more effective learner, but also to be more effective in my job. The cohort that I'm placed with has been a huge motivation to keep me going throughout the program, and the support that we receive from our instructors at Morehead has been phenomenal. The majority of the courses are online. There is a section of your degree that you can tailor to your interest area. And coming out every summer, some people initially question, well, I have to come out every summer. But it's such a great experience to reaffirm you with your group. And then you go back and you don't necessarily feel like you're in an online program, but you have that flexibility of the online program. The quality of the program has been exceptional. There's not been anything I've gone through and thought, well, how am I going to use that? Everything has been applicable. I've taken something out of every class that directly impacts positively what I'm doing.
For more information about the Doctorate in Education program offered at MSU, visit www.moreheadstate.edu/EDD. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Carly Sanders.
448, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Shrine Club and Grayson Tourism, hosting the 25th Annual Shriners Bluegrass Festival, July 16th through 18th in Olive Hill, Kentucky. 3 days of bluegrass music with Larry Sparks, Ronnie Reno and Reno Tradition, Ralph Stanley II, Tommy Webb, Dale Ann Bradley, Hammertown, Hazel Holler Band, and more. Camping, food vendors, and cover tent at stage area. Tickets and more information at 606-286-4611 and online. Online at ShrinersBluegrassFestival.com.
Baseball fans will be doing their rain dances tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. With the All-Star Game tomorrow night in Cincinnati, the annual Home Run Derby is slated for tonight at Great American Ballpark, weather permitting. The Reds' Todd Frazier squares off with Texas Rangers slugger Prince Fielder in his first-round match. Frazier will also represent the Big Red Machine when he starts at third base Tuesday evening for the National League on his home field.
You know, it's just going to be a great time. I'm going to have, you know, pretty much about 14, 15 people coming, and, you know, they're just as excited as I am.
Tonight's other first-round pairings in the Home Run Derby have Angels star Albert Pujols up against Cubs rookie Chris Bryant, Baltimore's Manny Machado facing the Dodgers' Jock Peterson, and the Blue Jays' Josh Donaldson meeting the Cubs' Anthony Rizzo. The U.S. routed the world team 10-1 in the Futures game yesterday at Great American Ballpark. Cubs catching prospect and Middletown, Ohio native Kyle Schwarber was the MVP of the contest, hitting a two-run triple for the U.S. Pitcher Amir Garrett, the Reds' number 4-rated prospect, also got in an inning of work, allowing one run on three hits.
I was very nervous, you know, going out there with all these people. I haven't pitched in front of this many people ever. So I was pretty, like, nerve-wracking, but just went out there and had fun, you know. I realized it's the same game that I've always been playing, you know. Just make pitches, get outs, you know, and I settled down after the first batter, and that was fun.
The Futures game features the top players in the minor leagues. The Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame added several new members during ceremonies over the weekend, MSPR's Chuck Meraz reports.
Among the 16 members of the Hall's class, former University of Kentucky standouts John Pelfrey, Travis Ford, and Winston Bennett. Pelfrey was the 1987 state Mr. Basketball while starring at Paintsville High School. Ford now coaches at Oklahoma State, and Bennett was an all-state standout at Louisville Male before going on to UK. Among the others enshrined is former Maysville High School coach Earl Jones, who led the Bulldogs to 470 wins and the 1947 state title while coaching them from 1931 through 1955. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
SEC Media Days began today in Hoover, Alabama. This marks a new era for the league as newly appointed SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey takes over for Mike Slive. Sankey spoke earlier today about the issues of player behavior in the league in wake of recent arrests on players at Florida State, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Sankey is looking for ways to prevent similar actions from happening in the future in the SEC.
We will appoint a working group on conduct expectations that will engage in reviewing our student-athlete conduct issues and policies. Particularly, they will invest time to consider existing campus policies, national requirements, and best practices in order to identify appropriate campus and conference expectations.
Sankey did not say who will form the group nor how it will operate. With practices resuming for the Round County football team, Coach Ray Graham is tuning up the Vikings' offensive and defensive units as they prepare for the upcoming campaign. At the same time, Graham says he needs answers to a number of questions involving Round special teams.
I wish we had a punter kicker really dedicated to that. You know, I'd love to see that happen down the road, and we're going to keep working on that. And then just the fact that everybody wants to be on the special teams, you know, that team that says, you know, I want to be on that squad. I want to be on that kickoff team, that punt team, that punter. I want to return a punt for a touchdown. I want to block a punt for a touchdown, you know.
The Vikes are resuming practices after taking a couple of weeks off for the KHSAA's summer dead period. Fleming County football coach Bill Spencer says for the Panthers to have a big 2015 season, the play of their new quarterback will be a big key. Senior Clayton Browning is replacing two-year starter Jacob Boyd, who graduated in May. Spencer is confident Browning will do just fine as he takes charge of Fleming's wide-open spread offense.
He's had a lot of success at the freshman JV level. I think that will be a problem, but with our style offense, it live or die with our quarterback play, and we think, you know, for us to be successful, he's going to have a good year, and we think he'll be able to do that.
Fleming County kicks off the season on August 21st at Estill County. Cowboys receiver Dez Bryant is sending another signal that he won't play without a long-term contract. Bryant posted a message on Twitter to Dallas fans today, apologizing while saying he will not be there if he doesn't have a new deal by Wednesday's deadline. The All-Pro, who led the NFL with 16 touchdowns receiving last season, has a one-year offer of $12.8 million under the franchise tag. Because he hasn't signed a contract, Bryant can't be fined for missing training camp, which starts July 30th. He would lose about $750,000 for each regular season game he skipped. As much as I love football, says Bryant, I apologize to Cowboy Nation, but I will not be there if there is no deal. After winning his fourth PGA Tour event of the season yesterday at the John Deere Classic, Jordan Spieth is taking his hot streak into the British Open. AP correspondent Rory Spears reports.
Jordan Spieth won for the fourth time this year as he defeated Tom Gillis in a playoff to win his second John Deere Classic title in 3 years. Spieth needed only a par on the second playoff hole after Gillis hit his approach shot from the deep rough into a pond alongside of the green. Spieth now heads to St. Andrews trying to win his third straight major championship in a quest for the Grand Slam, and he'll be joined by Gillis, who are in the final spot in the British Open with his second place finish. Rory Spears, Silvis, Illinois.
Finally tonight, the United States men's national soccer team has a Gold Cup action game tonight against Panama. Tonight's game will be the last of the Americans' three group matches. Already at 2-0, Jurgen Klinsmann's squad has solidified a spot in the tournament's knockout stage, making tonight's match a mere tune-up. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jared Wesley.
Eagle support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle football will host a women's clinic on Friday, July 17th, a 7-on-7 passing camp on Saturday, July 18th, and overnight team camps from July 20th through August 5th. More information from the Eagle football office at 783-2020 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed more than 1% higher in light volume trade following gains overseas on news of a bailout agreement between Greece and its creditors. And this was, of course, quite a bit a relief rally, as going into the weekend, many market traders expected Greece to actually be forced to leave the Eurozone. And at the close, the Dow finished with a gain of 217.27. at 17,977.68, the S&P 500 was up 22.98 at 2,099.6, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 73.82 at 5,071.51. New York Stock Exchange breadth was about 22-8 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The NASDAQ Composite was up about 1.5% as strength from stocks like Apple, as well as the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF, gave the NASDAQ a boost, and iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF itself was up about 1.5% as traders were very interested in the biotechnology sector today. To receive this third bailout, Greece's parliament must pass the new rules in areas such as privatization, labor laws, and pension reforms by Wednesday. The $86 billion euro in funds that would come would actually be given to Greece over a three-year period. European stocks, as mentioned, jumped on the news of the conditional Greek deal as the German DAX index was up about 1.5%, and the stock Europe 600 index itself was up about 2%. In Asia, stocks surged with the Nikkei up about 1.5% and the Shanghai Composite leaping 2.4% as it extended its rally from late last week. Crude oil futures were down 54 cents at $52.20 a barrel. Gold futures fell $1.70 to $1,156.20 an ounce. And Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen will deliver her semiannual testimony on the economy to Congress on Wednesday and Thursday. So many market watchers watching for more clues of the upcoming Fed action as she speaks this week in Congress. In second quarter, earnings season gets underway in a big way this week. On Tuesday, you have major banks such as J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo reporting earnings. And on the economic front, retail sales are due tomorrow morning as well. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.21 at $119.64, CSX down 23 cents at $31.90, AEP down 23 cents at $55.33, AK Steel up 17 cents at $3.19, Marathon Petroleum up $4.30 at $58.79, and Community Trust Bank was down 30 cents at $35.07. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Braxton Howard. Carly Sanders from MSU's Marketing and Communications Office did our feature story this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.